Hey guys, this is Spiro Dedis, and you're listening to the On the Board Sports Podcast with my guys, Sean and William.
You can put it on the board! Yes!
Welcome back to another edition of the On the Board Sports Podcast. I am your host, Will Trucci, a.k.a. Will C., coming to you from Long Island, New York, and I'm joined with my main man, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the mic. Sean, who is west of me right now, how are you doing?
Well, happy Monday, pal. Hope you had a great weekend, sir. How are you, man?
Hanging in, can't complain, you know, working in the rain, trying to make things happen, and, you know, that's what men do. We work in the rain, we make things happen, and we build things. So that's the whole point of working outside. Working on East Side Access is something else. But I am joined by a man, a young man, that owns Official NBA Buzz. We've had him on twice before, and he's now doing his own thing with ESPN. I'm talking to one only Mikey Domagala. Mike, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate you coming on, and especially right now, coming live, speaking face-to-face with the man.
Finally, my first live interview in months and months. Will, Sean, I appreciate you guys having me on for a third time. It's always nice coming back.
They say that
definitely, bro, definitely.
Life comes in threes, and the third time is always the charm.
Always the best.
Let's do it. Absolutely. So, with everything going on, man, you've been through a lot. You've interviewed a lot of NBA players. You've interviewed a lot of basketball players, and especially, not only did we, the last time that we spoke, we were talking about the Last Dance documentary with Michael Jordan. You had on a couple great guests. You've had on recently, you've had on Lethal Shooter, and now you're about to host your own podcast right now on ESPN. Please talk to us about You Can't Handle the Truth.
Yeah, so the Truth podcast by ESPN, it's dropping December 1st. We're having a lot of big guests. I'll give you a little hint for a guest. It's called The Truth, and there's a very famous player out there called The Truth, so we're in contact with him to come on, as well as another guest we'll be announcing very soon for episode one. And yeah, man, I'm just very honored for ESPN to reach out, pair me with Jermaine Barnes, who's a pro player in Germany, and we got to pull in big numbers so I could get a contract with them, man. That's very nice.
Absolutely. And Mike, you speak the truth on a lot of things, and not only that, you're young, you have your whole future at you right now, but right now, you know, talk to us about the growth of NBA Insight, Official NBA Buzz.
Yeah, so, you know, there's NBA Buzz and Inside Buzz. Got the Inside Buzz merch, which I gave to Will. Sean, I'll hook you up soon. So, yeah, the growth of NBA Buzz started back in 2012 when I was 12. I'm 21 now. Still a baby, I know. And, yeah, man, it's just been growing like wildfire. 2.7 million followers on Facebook, 176,000 on Instagram, sprinkle of a couple thousand on Twitter. Then I started Inside Buzz last year. Like you said, where I interviewed all those players. So check out the Inside Buzz merch, insidebuzz.net, and check out the interviews everywhere else.
Well said, Mikey, well said. Pal, before we start talking NBA and everything that's been going on there, how have you, your family, and friends made out since the last time we spoke through quarantine and pandemic and so on and so forth, pal?
Yeah, so everybody in my family's good. I'm good. I'm home from school now. We're all online at Long Island University. And other than that, my social distancing from anywhere I go. My parents are doing good. They're all home. My brother's all good, working from home. So we're safe like that. And man, the last time, well, I just thought of something. Last time we were in studio was about a year ago when we were discussing the NBA and China conflict. And that was still the same season that just finished. So that just shows how long the season was.
Exactly.
Before we go on and talk about the NBA offseason, and before we talk about, you know, what's going on, what happened in the bubble, let's talk about your co-host, your future co-host, Jermaine Barnes. What kind of, have you talking to him at all? And, you know, just basically, how's the chemistry so far with Jermaine?
Yeah, so I got to tell you, Jermaine has been a fan of NBA Buzz for a while. He might even be listening right now. A fan of NBA Buzz, a fan of Inside Buzz. And he would always comment on my stuff. He'd give me kudos for the stuff I would do. He's, you know, watched my career blossom and stuff like that. So when ESPN came knocking and kind of he had to connect first, he needed someone to be his co-host. So I'm younger than he is, not calling him an old man if he's listening, but more technologically advanced. I know how to edit, do all the technological stuff,
right,
as well as how to host a show. And I have the connections, the following behind me. So that's how we really paired. And yeah, man, we're really growing a relationship. And it's going to be great. December 1st launching on ESPN.
Mikey, awesome job. Me, Will, and everyone cannot wait to listen to it, pal. And we wish you the best with that. Ikey, let's get to the season that just took place. It finally came to an end a couple weeks back, pal. Obviously, as we know, the Lakers won a championship. Will, is that number 17?
I'm with the Boston Celtics right now for the most of history, 17.
17 rings. Ikey, what was your overall take on the games that we saw, and what's your overall take on the job that the NBA did getting this done really, really in a fast way and everything going as well as it did, pal?
Yeah, so, I mean, first off, I'll answer the tail end of that. The NBA putting this forward, I mean, they did it perfectly. Almost zero, like, zero COVID cases the last previous weeks of the season, which is perfect.
Right.
I didn't think the season was going to come back, potentially. You know, I really wasn't sure. I'm sure you guys, it was up in the air as well. Mm-hmm. And for the finals, I mean, it was great. I just wish the Miami Heat were healthy, but the Heat still put up a fight. We saw the historic performance from Jimmy Butler, the 40-point triple-double, which was incredible. LeBron and AD, man, you just – if you're not bringing it all against them, you're going to lose, and that's what we saw. So kudos to the Lakers for winning the title. And, you know, it was fun to just round off a great year and for them to win it in Kobe's honor.
Absolutely, and a lot has gone on since January 24th, since Kobe Bryant tragically passed away in that helicopter accident in Los Angeles, California. With everything that's been going on with the Lakers right now, they went out, they won number 17, Frank Vogel being there, being the new head coach, Rob Pelinka being there, is what, second season being GM right now at this point in time. You know, you look at everything that's going on with the Lakers right now, especially Anthony Davis is probably going to re-sign a huge, huge extension with the Lakers. They still have some pieces left to re-sign. What do you see the Lakers doing in the offseason?
Yeah, so of course, like you said, bringing back AD, main priority. After that, they need another scorer, because how I look at next season, you got Brooklyn, who's going to be healthy with KD and Kyrie. The Golden State Warriors are going to be the Warriors again. And they weren't that in the West, and they weren't giving the Lakers any problems this year. So I see the Lakers needing another piece, because your third option can't be like 36, 35-year-old Rajon Rondo, like, leading the way behind LeBron and AD. Yeah, he played well. But, I mean, like, if you're going up against a powerhouse like Brooklyn in the finals next year or Golden State in the Western Conference finals, you need more firepower. Who that is off the top of my head, not too sure. But, I mean, you can't have Danny Green play as bad as he did, Kyle Kuzma play as bad as he did. So they need another scoring piece. That's what I see what the Lakers need.
Now, when you're looking at the Lakers right now, they went out this season and they were the best team in the West, hands down, make no mistake about it. There were some rumblings out there. When we did our NBA preview back all the way in last October, Sean, I had the Clippers being the best team. Sean, I think you had the Lakers being the best team coming out of the West. There's been a lot of, and I'm a Laker fan saying that too, because I thought with Kawhi Leonard going over to the Clippers, I thought that was a real change of scenery right there. And especially since they never had a superstar like that before, especially with everything going on with them, it was going to be that, oh, LA, the Battle of LA and such. But make no mistake about it, the Lakers went in the bubble and they found a way to go out there and win games. And especially, like you said earlier, it was tough. Talk to us about the Lakers' tough times and in the bubble, especially when they went up against Denver and they had Houston to go up against, Portland as well. A lot of tough foes there. What was your take on the Lakers in the bubble?
Yeah, I mean, that just shows how strong the NBA is becoming. For LeBron, it's not going to be a cakewalk anymore. So, yeah, he met Lillard, then he met Houston. And then, you know, Denver, and then in the finals, the Heat. Got to backtrack a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk anymore. And that competition, one, shows how far the league has come and how strong it is. But it shows that the Lakers, you know, with the superheroes of LeBron and AD, it shows that they are human because, you know, those teams could really give them problems. So they had some issues. And actually, I'll get back to this. I really wanted to see a Clippers-Lakers Western Conference Finals. I'm sure everybody did.
Everybody
did. Very, very, very surprised that they lost when they were up 3-1. I couldn't even believe that. But what Shaq said the other day, I kind of agree with. Should LA look to trade Paul George and make Kawhi the man? Because Kawhi was the man in Toronto, and he really carried them on his back with these great surrounding pieces. So is that what LA is going to do? I doubt it. But it's an interesting thought.
Ike, when we talk about the East, I think people thought it was going to be the Bucks, Toronto again, Boston, Philly, maybe. Nobody expected the Heat. The Heat legit came out of nowhere, and they represented the East, and they took the Los Angeles Lakers to 6 games. Can you talk about the Heat and just the surprise that they were beating the Patriots in a sweep? Then they won the conference semis in 5 games, Boston in 6. Just talk about the run that the Heat had, Bill.
Yeah, they really gained their stripes this postseason. I mean, not just from the NBA fan base, I'm sure from you guys as well, and from me, they definitely did. They're a young, hungry team, and I think when the odds are against you and people are writing you off, it'll just make you play even harder. Like you said, I wouldn't say they upset those teams, but they definitely weren't favored. They're still so young. Adebayo made tremendous strides. Tyler Hero really, you know, was kicking butt in the playoffs. Duncan Robinson and all those guys. Of course, Jimmy Butler, he's a killer. And I think he rounds out that team perfectly because he does a little bit of everything. So that team's going to be a great team for the future.
Definitely what was said there. Sorry, Will. Ike, speaking of to go from the East now back to the West here, pal, the Clippers, like you said, they were up 3-1. They lost 3 straight. Doc is now gone. Tyronn Lue is now in. Do you think it was Doc's fault, number one? And number two, what type of job do you think Tyronn Lue has to do to get that team over that hump?
Yeah, it's a good question because I'm not – like, is it Doc's fault? Is it not? He did make some questionable, you know, 5 people on the court decisions who he put out sometimes. But I really don't think it's Doc's fault. I just feel like that was the Los Angeles Clippers just, you know – just letting their guard down. And with Tyronn Lue, he's just got to be more of a player's coach and be real with these players about what he wants from them. And I'm excited to see that.
Mike, what's going on in free agency now? With, you know, free agency starts up on November 10th. AD is obviously the big fish in the pond right now. Although, like we said before, it looks like he's going to re-sign with LA. Who are some other free agents out there that might be – marquee names that are going to be very notable once November 10th rolls around?
Yeah, so people are writing off this free agency like it's not strong. I mean, it's not the strongest, but I look at Fred VanVleet and Brandon Ingram as those two who are extremely valuable, still very young, and who could garner a lot of money from these teams. So, like, does Ingram want to stay in New Orleans where Zion might be getting all the fame and all the attention? Does VanVleet, you know, yeah, he probably loves him in Toronto. They gave him the opportunity. But can he go bigger than Toronto and maybe come to a New York Knicks? Hint, hint, that would be nice. You know, and really blossom there and really get paid more than Toronto could potentially pay him. So I look at Ingram and VanVleet as two guys who are up there.
And Brandon Ingram's going to be a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
So that's – you're gonna whoever's going to sign Brandon Ingram's got to go up and sign a lot – of money, and they're going to have to throw out a lot of draft picks, and hopefully New Orleans might not want to re-sign, but they might look at the draft cap and say, it's a lot of picks.
Exactly. So that'll be interesting. As I said, I just hope the Knicks can do something nice in free agency, pair a nice free agent with a nice draft pick, and hopefully, you know, get that ball moving a little forward rather than backwards.
Speaking of the Knicks, you mentioned the Knicks just now. They are your team. You do root for them in that sense. What are some needs for the Knicks?
man, what do they, you know, they need everything. You know?
Everything, Mikey, right.
But other than RJ Barrett and Mitchell Robinson, it feels like there's no bright spots. I had faith in Julius Randle to be this, like, sick power forward for us, and he just kind of didn't live up to the potential I thought he had. So I thought bringing in some more veterans, so maybe like a Chris – people are saying Chris Paul. I would love Chris Paul. It's just 3 years too late. I mean, he's like 34, 35 now. There's no point of really signing him to a lot of money. So I think a young player in free agency, possibly a Van Fleet, make a good draft pick, and then get a veteran in there who could, you know, score the ball a little bit would be nice to him.
And I think what also helps the Knicks is that they're in the East. So, I mean, they don't have to do an extreme job to get like a 7th seed, an 8th seed, so on. Mikey, I'm a huge Nets fan, and I don't – like, at first I liked the Steve Nash move. Now that I've had some time to think about it and read about it, not so much. So, number one, what was your take when you heard that – Steve Nash was going to be the coach, and what is your expectation with a healthy KD, a healthy Kyrie coming into the 2020-2021 year for this team, Bill?
Yeah, so I think Brooklyn shouldn't have gotten rid of Kenny Atkinson, but Kyrie kind of, you know, made that a problem.
As right.
As with some people, I'm not the craziest that you talk about bridges with these great coaches.
Right.
I like the Steve Nash move. I think he's a player's coach. He has a relationship with KD. I think he could put KD and Kyrie in their place if they get out of line a little bit because he's this great legendary player. And I think Kyrie and KD are going to be great. I said this on a different podcast recently that for Brooklyn to strive, they need KD to be Batman and Kyrie to be Robin. So Kyrie could like fill in the gaps for KD like he did with LeBron. So I see them being the number one seed in the East and possibly making it to the finals if they stay healthy because they got great players around them too. Caris LeVert, Joe Harris, Spencer Dinwiddie, and the center I can't think of with the afro.
Jared Allen.
So, you know, I see them making noise in the East.
Do you think they should make a trade for a third star? Because that's the thing now. Oh, they should get a Bradley Beal or someone that's worth being a quote-unquote third star. Do you think they should go out and try and get a guy like him, or do you think they should just stand pat, make some smaller moves, and just play like that?
I think if they were, the move would be Beal. I mean, he's kind of on the fence about leaving. If he's going to stay, he's kind of been telling the media different things. But I think leaving Caris LeVert, who's still young enough to be that third star, is where it should be. I mean, I love Dinwiddie, but him and LeVert, you know, they might clash a little bit for touches, for minutes. Right. Oh, I'm getting this many, you're getting that many. Why aren't I getting, you know, whatever. So I think they should maybe try to flip Dinwiddie because he has good value. He's a really good scorer. For other bench pieces to put around LeVert, Allen, and Harris off the bench.
Speaking of Brooklyn right now, you know, Joe Tsai, with everything going on with him, he bought the Nets. No, it was really an under-the-radar type of move. I never even heard of this guy, Joe Tsai, up until last season. I always thought that Prokhorov was still the owner in that sense. They go out, they sign KD, they go out and they sign Kyrie Irving. With everything going on, I know you just said that they're going to be that number one seed, but in that New York mecca, the Knicks being right across the river, even though they've been bad for years, now that you're going to have this draw, you have this new arena in Barclays, even though it's still somewhat new, it's been 8 years since it opened up. Do you see the Nets at all just becoming this bigger draw than the Knicks were?
Right? I got to tell you, they are to basketball fans, but I think to tourists, the Knicks still are because they're right in the heart of the city where all the tourist, you know, attractions are. Like, oh, if a foreigner comes to New York, oh, we got to hit Times Square, we got to hit the tree in the winter. Oh, we got to hit a Knicks game as well, rather than travel to Brooklyn, you know, uncharted territory to a foreigner potentially.
Right.
So, in basketball terms, it's the Nets. I mean, I would go watch a Nets game other than a Knicks game. And I'm a Knicks fan, and I'm saying that, just because of the draw of Kyrie and KD are there.
Of course.
But, I mean, I wish they could have came to the Knicks, because I'm a little biased. But it is good for the city of New York for them to be in Brooklyn to get this huge, two huge superstars right, you know, what are we, 25 miles away from Brooklyn right now? So it's nice to have them nice and close, and it'll be an exciting year.
Mikey, with everything going on, I'm glad you just mentioned KD and Kyrie going over. One guy that everybody had last season was Zion. And you're looking at Zion right now this year with the Pelicans coming up. Big year for him, definitely, right now. Stan Van Gundy was absolutely hyped prior to him getting hired by the Pelicans. And right now he's the head coach. I think it's a great fit to have a guy like that over there. He brought the Magic, a team that basically in 09 had a little bit of promise. Let's just say that they did. And they had a couple of playoff fights with Boston back in the day and Cleveland too. But make no mistake about it, Stan Van Gundy is not afraid, and he has that basketball knowledge. He knows how to go out there and build teams up to that extent. With everything that's going on with New Orleans, do you see Stan Van Gundy being that good fit for the Pelicans?
Yeah, I do, because like you said, he's a no-nonsense coach. He's not going to take any BS. He's going to help develop the young guys, and he's going to be on them. He's not going to let them get away with things. And that seemed like what Alvin Gentry kind of did. He wasn't as hard as them as they should have been for being young, because they're right on the cusp of making the playoffs, and of course they didn't. So I think I like that Stan Van Gundy move. He's been out of the league for a while. Great player coach, like I said, and he's stern. So, and he has a history of developing young players and has a good history in coaching. So I like it.
Ike, a player that I cannot wait to watch this upcoming year, Luka. I cannot wait to see what he brings in year number three, the playoffs that he had, the fact that he even got them to a game six when poor Zingas got hurt. I was just like, I cannot wait to see him in year number three. What are you expecting of him in year number three? Because not to spoil it here, but he's my early MVP pick for next year. So what are you expecting from him?
Yeah, I haven't thought about it, but he probably is for me too. And like you said, poor Zingas, like poor Zingas, because he's always and they need him to be healthy to really make runs, because when Luka and Porzingis are on the floor together, they're crazy good together. I mean, you know, the pick and pop, whatever, Luka to the rim, shooting threes, step backs, Porzingis doing the same thing. But I think they're a piece away too. They proved a lot of people wrong this year. Even me, I didn't think they were gonna go as far as they did. And they need another scoring piece. And speaking of Bradley Beal, he would be a pretty nice fit in there at the shooting guard position. So I would like to see something like that happen for them.
You could definitely see Mark Cuban making him over too, for sure. Yeah. He is a guy that can shoot with the best of them. And
yeah,
he is that guy as an owner that's going to say, you know what, I don't care. I want to win it all at that point.
Also, you got to think, these players now, with Luka Doncic as the top dog in the NBA, you know, top three, top five, whatever, Porzingis at the five, these players are going to want to go there now that they're there. I mean, Dallas is a pretty big market team, so why not go there? You know, you got a good chance to win. If I'm Beal, I'm going to go there.
Lone Star State. Yeah, stars at night, are big and bright, deep in the heart of Texas.
Yes,
sure.
Sir.
That's definitely what was said. Ike, so as you know, Stan Van Gundy, a new coach, Tyronn Lue, new coach. That goes from the Clippers all the way east, and now he's on the 76ers. Which one of these new head coaches that's in a new place, I won't say is your favorite move, but a move that made you say, I really like this coach in this place because I think that he could do ABC XYZ.
Yeah, so I like the Doc Rivers move. I'm not sure if the Clippers should have got rid of him, because how much of an upgrade is it with Ty Lue there? You know, is Ty Lue proving, yeah, he's a champion, but he had LeBron and Kyrie. All right. But
exactly.
In Philly, I kind of like Rivers there, because I feel like Simmons and Embiid aren't living up to their full potential yet. They need a coach who could really get on them about being that. Joel Embiid, man, he could be so much more dominant than he is, because he's a little lazy. I mean, Shaq is always on him for it. Shaq, all right, he's a little lazy in his career too. But Shaq is always on Embiid for being lazy, just kind of bailing himself out, taking James Harden step back threes when he's 7'1", whatever he is, while he could be just dominating in the paint. So I think less threes from Embiid, more focus on his body, his mind, and his game. And we might see the 76ers, I said this last year and it didn't live up to it, as a top five team next year with Rivers at the helm. So I like that move.
Go ahead, Sean.
And I hope Doc could get Ben Simmons to shoot. Because I think if Ben puts his mind into it, he could shoot. And I don't. And obviously, Brett Brown wasn't able to get him to shoot. And Doc doesn't need to get him to shoot threes or 20-foot shots, but a little 10-footer, a little 12-footer. We're not asking for Ben to shoot, you know, like 40% from three, but at least something, bro.
No, I agree. Because, listen, these players get paid these millions of dollars, while us three could go to the park and hone our skills and become better three-point shooters.
Right.
Who gets paid millions and has all these top trainers, all these hours of time in the gym, why can't he develop a little mid-range, a three-point shot? And that's my same concern for people, NBA players, who aren't the greatest free-throw shooters. Like, dude, you practice this all day, every day after practice. You gotta shoot over 75%, you know?
Exactly.
That comes into it, though, like you said just now. But there's always that you can always be great in practice, but whenever the bit that you, there's never that thing of great shooter. There are such things as great shooters, obviously. But when you do it in practice and you can't do it, there's always that game time situation.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't ever train for it. Fans being there, 18,000 plus
the pressure.
I understand that totally, 100%. Where you're coming from, and you know, we're all fans here at the end of the day, saying that. But you know, when you're that one guy out there, you know, just going out there in front of 15,000 people, you know, shooting a shot, it's tough. I get it. I understand it. But with Doc Rivers, with him, I think this is a great hire, just because of the fact that number one, with a lot, he played on the Atlanta Hawks with Dominique Wilkins.
Yep.
He played on the Knicks. Those mid-90s Knicks for a little bit of time. So he knows the tough grit, everything like that, how to go out there and win. You know, he didn't really win a ring with the Knicks. Goes out and watches the game on TV as a color commentator with ABC back in the middle of the 2000s. Goes over to Boston, unites Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, and Ray Allen, and they become that formidable team for about a five-year span. Even though they won one championship and made it to the finals twice, it was still a formidable opponent. Mm-hmm. He goes over to the Clippers, finds a way to go over to the Clippers, makes Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul work together, and they were a dominant team that just couldn't make it past the second round. And now, with everything going on, I think he is the perfect fit because he's shown that he could go out there and coach superstars.
Yeah.
He has.
Yeah, that's why I'm surprised that the Clippers were so quick to cut him loose, because you already have Ty Lue as an assistant. So what's the difference of bumping him up to the head coach when you could just have Rivers and Lue there? So, you know, I mean, I understand a different head at the team making the decisions, but that's just my opinion.
Not only that, too, wasn't Doc Rivers the GM of the Clippers, too, for a little bit of time?
I think for a little bit he was.
Yeah. Right, Sean? Wasn't he the GM of the team for a little bit?
He definitely was. I forget the years, but he definitely was.
Yeah.
He definitely was.
So he's got good relationships in that front office is what that means. You know?
Exactly what that all means. Well, Ikey, what is next for everything that you have going on with the Buzz and Inside Buzz and everything? What is next for you, pal?
Yeah, so next would be just keep doing interviews for Inside Buzz, seeing where those get me, and, of course, the ESPN podcast, The Truth. Other than that, man, I can't accept too many new avenues right now because I'm so busy. I'm still in school. Like,
yeah.
I just finished editing, like, a project that took me, like, 7 hours of editing to do. It was so, you know, particular and stuff like
tedious.
That. It's tedious. So with NBA Buzz, Inside Buzz, the draft coming up, school, girlfriend, social life, boom. I got to see how much more I can take in. So
you were also interning at SNY, too.
Yeah, I was interning at SNY, and, you know, now it's almost – with COVID, it's a little tough, but I'm going to be applying to jobs soon. So I got a lot coming my way, and the focus is on The Truth now, in all honesty. So we'll be shooting in mid-November. I just got a new banner made that you could – like my Inside Buzz banner that is usually behind me for The Truth. Got a Truth t-shirt made up.
We got it. You know what, Sean? Speaking of that, not to butt in on that, but we got to get it. I got to get you a
bit. It's overdue, right?
I got a good connect right a half a mile from me in Plainview, right off the 135. I can hook you up.
Good to know. We'll talk afterwards. Mikey, two questions for you, okay? And these are my final two questions. Number one, the NBA draft is coming up. Mm-hmm. It's coming up very soon. We've been hearing a lot about LaMelo Ball coming in, possibly being the number one overall pick, Anthony Edwards also being there too. And there's a couple of good overseas prospects as well. A kid from Israel is playing out of his mind, and he's probably going to be a top five draft selection, make no mistake about it. But there's a lot of things that are going on in that NBA draft. That's number one. That's the first question. What's going to happen in the NBA draft? Number two, you know, I posted this on your official NBA Buzz as a comment on your Instagram account, and there's a lot of things going on with LeBron James. The guy is arguably one of the greatest players to ever lace them up. Top five, in my opinion. He's not top three, in my opinion, even though there are a lot of people out there that have him top two, top one. I get the set of circumstances, but it's all about context for me. But with everything going on, I'm surprised that we haven't heard anything really going on about PED use. As far as King James is, you know, this is just my opinion. I'm only speaking for myself. I can't speak for my partner. Mm-hmm. But from my experience, and after reading Game of Shadows, I just finished reading Game of Shadows, and you just never know with some athletes now, especially with what happened with the steroid saga going in there. People were trying to get ratings back up in baseball, a lot of money. And also, when people keep on talking about, this Maguire-Sosa thing, it's the greatest thing ever. They're both the greatest hitters of all time. Meanwhile, you have a guy like Barry Bonds going out there and just saying, wait a second, I'm doing this, this, and that, but I'm not getting any respect, I'm not getting any love. It's almost sort of similar, not that similar, but it is sort of similar in that regard. Do you at all, would you be shocked if LeBron James took HGH or any sort of, you know, under the counter stuff?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I would be shocked. And listen, you know, I don't know LeBron, I don't know his people, so I can't go and say, yeah, he is or no, he's not. Right. So yeah, we could speculate because not too many people really thought about Sosa back then as doing it. Right. I mean, Maguire is this huge jacked up dude, Bonds as well, but Sosa maybe not. You got to speculate, so I would say maybe, but I don't think so because of all the money LeBron puts into his body. He says he spends $1 million on his body a year, but what is that million a year on his body? So a breakdown of that would be nice, but I don't think so. Definitely possible.
I mean,
would the NBA call him out on it because he's LeBron James and this big attention? Not sure. So that is a different angle you could look at it.
Not only that, too, but when you're looking at it from the perspective of, okay, here's a guy that's 34, 35 years old. He went out, he won an NBA title, but he also came off of a major groin injury. And a lot of people his age, you know, you look at the greats, Kobe Bryant broke down at the end of his career, big contract. You know, all the greats, Shaq, everybody, they all broke down. This guy's still going strong.
And in every sport, too. Right. Once they get paid, once they get hurt, boom, they're never the same.
That's it.
So that is a good point. I just think LeBron's built different. In my opinion, one of the greatest athletes ever.
And one other thing with that, I know this is so different, but the NBA, they cut out the drug testing when COVID was going on.
Interesting, right? I did not think that was going to happen.
They cut it out. I know a lot of people and a lot of players use marijuana. Should it be legal? Yes, to a degree. But you know what? Listen, with PEDs and such going on, you know, it's stuff that could be like, okay, we got to do this, we got to do that. And, you know, trying to get that edge over, you know, you look at a guy like Jimmy Butler, he broke down being that guy. Yeah. You look at a lot of guys on the Heat, they broke down at one point in time. And yet, you know, you look at the Lakers, what happened with them? They're a great team. I'm not denying that. But with everything that's gone on, you know, you have to look at that. You really have to look at that. You have to wonder about that.
See, it's funny because this is I've never heard this anywhere else. One, because I don't think people want to kind of throw some possible dirt on LeBron. But if this comes out, say, in 10, 15 years, man, I'll be quoting this and posting this all over the place. So it's definitely possible.
You can say that with On The Board Sports with Sean and Will, for sure.
Yep.
That's definitely said.
The other question, the draft.
The draft, the NBA draft.
Now,
yes.
That is very intriguing because a couple months ago, me and my friends were talking, people in NBA Buzz I've seen talking. People are writing it off as this weak draft. But the more I look at it, man, like the first 15 picks is – there's a lot of under-the-radar guys outside of the top five who are going to really help teams. Like I like the guy Obi Toppin.
Yes.
I forget what school he's from, but I think he's this like powerhouse, strong forward. Not like, yeah, maybe he plays power forward, but he's like a power, strong forward. I like him a lot. I like LaMelo. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. Who's going number one? LaMelo or Edwards. You know, they both got NBA-ready games. They could do a little bit of everything, shoot, drive, still so young, and it's going to be interesting. But what are the Knicks going to do? That's the question. So not sure what's going to happen there.
I've heard that they're interested in the kid Cole from UNC.
Not a fan. Not a
point guard. Me either. And the fact that he got hurt, I mean, guys that get hurt in school always scare me. It just does.
Also, Sean, I mean, how many times have they struck out recently on point guards? Like, come on, were you gonna put me through this agony again? You got to go for a nice scoring, well-rounded guard because that's what the NBA is nowadays. People who can get buckets, not just pets, you know?
That's definitely true. My final question for you, pal, is Tom Thibodeau, new coach of the Knicks. He's been successful everywhere he's gone. The issue is he's had issues everywhere he's gone in terms of the style he runs and the practices, and he's hard on guys. Two-parter here, pal. What's your take on him being the coach, number one? And number two, do you think he can get these young guys and everyone that they're going to bring in to be on the same page to be successful in the East?
Yeah, I like the move because he's like a big-name coach, and the Knicks haven't really had a big-name, you know, high-decorated coach in a while. The only thing that makes me nervous about Thibodeau is he going to, like, burn out R.J. Barrett and Mitchell Robinson? Like, I think Mitchell Robinson needs more minutes for him to really shine and develop more. And, like, no minutes, he was putting up crazy numbers. But yeah. I don't want him to play them, like, 45 to 48 minutes like he did, like, Jimmy Butler when he was in Chicago, Minnesota. I like the hire. He's decorated. He's a player's coach, too. And he might kick these guys' butts into shape and really – saying, do you guys just want to be the laughing stock in New York? No, I'm here. You're here. Let's go win some games. So that's what they need.
Well said, Ben.
For you with the Knicks, you know, there's a lot of people there. Still young draft pieces here. Yeah. Still, Kevin Knox, still young. I think he's what, 21, 22 years old.
He's just 20.
He's 20. Yeah. Right? Crazy.
I'm older than him.
Two, 3 years in the league right now, and you know, still young.
Yeah,
people
yeah.
writing him off right now. You know. Alonzo Trier, another guy.
Mm.
You know, there's a lot of what ifs there with the Knicks. But you know, out of the guys that are on that team right now, who would you keep on the Knicks going in?
I think you got to flip Knox, to be honest, while he's still young, because the potential's still there. You could maybe get some good value for him, but I kind of lost some faith in him. I'm not gonna lie. I think Dennis Smith Jr. you got to keep, and Nateel Aquina you got to keep. Dennis Smith, because he's another guy who's like, he's proven to be like this 12 point, like five assist scorer when he was in Dallas and, you know, prior. But it's like, it's another thing. The Knicks just need to get the hype behind this guy. The fans need to get on his side. And it's almost like, he knows that the Knicks fans are so not into this team. That's like, he's like in a little shell because he's going to hear it. So they need to break these young guys out of that shell. I think you keep Dennis Smith and Nateel Aquina for another year and see what we can do with those guys.
See what happens with Frank Ntilikina for sure.
Yeah. Oh, and of course, Mitchell Robinson and RJ you got to keep. I mean, that was, you know, being said already.
Absolutely. Sean?
Well, I just want to thank Mikey for coming on, and I cannot wait for free agency because I'm going to be checking my phone 24/7 to see if the Nets make a big move, a small move, a big move, and a small move, and everything in between. So, Mikey, appreciate you, pal.
Mikey, before we go, man, how do people follow you and how do people follow Inside Buzz with Mikey Domodossi?
Yeah, so I,
on social media.
Yeah, I got a lot of apps to drop, but follow me on Instagram at Mikey Domagala, NBA Buzz on Facebook, official NBA Buzz on Instagram and Twitter, at Inside underscore Buzz on Instagram for Inside Buzz. Check Inside Buzz out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you could hear podcasts. And of course, the On the Board, On the Board Sports Podcast. Will, Sean, thank you as always for having me. It's a pleasure.
I love the drop at the end, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Really appreciate it.
A visual fist pump, Mikey.
A little air high five,
right.
Off the leg, but it's all right.
Mikey, again, I appreciate it. Sean, yes, we appreciate you coming on. And, you know, we got to make this happen again. This time, Sean, you got to be here live.
I promise I will.
We got to do it somewhere socially distant, obviously. But, you know, due to the
I don't think we're 6 feet, Will. Got to be in the camera frame. That's it, man.
Mikey, thank you again for coming on. We really appreciate it. But anytime.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on location, man.
No problem, man. For everybody from the On the Board Sports Podcast, for my wonderful co-host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the Mic, who is west of me in Queens right now, and for the great Mikey Domagala of Inside Buzz and official NBA Buzz, along with The Truth.
Yep, Truth Podcast on ESPN.
Truth Podcast on ESPN, that's going to be coming out soon. Check your podcast app for that coming out. It's going to be a big hit, sensation. And the future is bright for this young man. I got to tell you that. The future is bright for this young man here. And for everybody that's listening, just want to say thank you. And for the Instagram Live, this is the first time we've done an Instagram Live on the Board Sports Podcast. Thank you guys out there for tuning in and listening. We really appreciate you. I am your host, Will Trucci, logging out. We will talk to you guys soon. Peace out. Stay safe wherever you may be. And God bless you all. Perfect. Stay safe.